Today on Real Radio.
Saul accepts the Lord, spends time with the fellowship, and while he's spending time with the fellowship, he's preaching Jesus. And listen, I know some of us are shy. I know some of us are reserved. It doesn't mean you grab a box and stand on top and start preaching to the world. It means you tell people about Jesus. Tell your family. You see, a person who's really born again according to the Bible, this is not my opinion, will tell other people. You're going to want to tell them.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We've been examining chapter 9, the fascinating account where Saul of Tarsus becomes a believer. Remember, this was the man who supervised and orchestrated sanctioned executions of believers. Yet when he became a believer, people were astonished because his conversion was, by all evidence, absolutely genuine. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, Are You Really a Believer?
I believe that God existed. I believe that Jesus was real. But I didn't know really who he was. I didn't know what the Bible had to say. And so when somebody at the beach or on the streets asked me, are you a believer? I'd say, well, yes, I'm a believer, for crying out loud. I was born in America. Of course I'm a believer. Not a heathen. Well, you can be a believer. Listen, this ought to wake you up. You can be a believer in God. You can even believe that Jesus Christ existed and exists and not be a Christian. You would not necessarily, because you hold to those things, be a Christian, Bible-believing, heaven-bound Christian. You've got to adhere or to uphold to certain things within the Scripture. And we're going to look at the life of Paul, or Saul, and forgive me if I interchange his name back and forth. It's so very important to realize that he is a man, like we said earlier, who is a believer in God, yet he was converted. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God, come in human form, died on the cross for your sins, and rose again the third day, and is seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. You must believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he was and is. It's not an option. But what a great question. When I was a non-believer, I thought I was a believer. And then when I came to know Jesus Christ and I got born again, for 3 years I thought I was a non-believer. I would go to church and I'd hear Pastor Chuck teach and I'd listen to the Word of God and I'd just be thinking, well, man, I don't see enough going on in my heart. I don't see enough going on in my life. I'm not doing enough. I'm not thinking enough. And I used to just think, man, I just can't be a Christian. Well, the fact of the matter was, I was a Christian, but I had to grow. And maybe you're in that place this morning that you are hounded by an internal voice that's saying, you're not a Christian. Look at you, you're not a believer. When in fact, you are a believer. And maybe, and I hope not, but maybe this morning there's somebody here and they're saying, I'm a believer. Don't read my Bible. Don't pray to God. Don't tell anybody about being a believer or anything like that. But I know I'm a believer and I'm going to heaven. In fact, heaven's going to be even that much more better once I get there. Well, you know what? With all due respect, you're in great peril. In fact, if that's your heart and that's your attitude, the Scripture declares and teaches that you're a self-righteous Pharisee. And you could stand on a street corner and say, I thank thee, God, that I'm not like this homeless bum. As that Pharisee looked at that man next to him. And Jesus said, I tell you, the man who was broke and poor and destitute wouldn't even look his eyes up into heaven, but smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, that man went away justified, but the other man, he was not justified. And so we need to discern this morning, are we really a believer? And I'm going to ask you to take notes because some of these things, in fact, there's a verse coming up, two of them, that's going to ruffle your feathers a little bit. You need to study this. Don't take my word for it. I want you to study these things and come to your own conclusion on this. But we need to understand something concerning Saul's alleged conversion. He was one who murdered Christians. He persecuted them. And then he came to faith in Jesus Christ. Nobody would believe him. Why? Because there are those who say they're believers and in fact are not. Jesus warned us in Matthew 13, starting at verse 1. Jesus said that there will be those who receive the word of God. And I want you to listen to this because Jesus says in Matthew 13 that the sower, that is the one who preaches the word of God, throws out the seed, that is the word of God, to people. And in Matthew 13, Jesus says that the seed goes out and it lands on four different kinds of hearts. Interestingly enough, those four types of hearts all say that they believe in God. Every one of them. 100% of them say in Jesus' kingdom parable, they believe in God. But then Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, after a while, some of them give up. He even goes on to say that these are they who believe for a while, only to turn in on their Christianity and give up. It could be a week, it could be a month, it could be 10 or 50 years later, they give up. And Jesus comes to the end of that parable in Matthew 13, and he shows you that 25 or 25% of those who received the word of God in that parable really lasted unto the end and were saved. He shares that same parable with us again in Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 4. Very serious things. And so the great question is, are you a believer? Am I a believer? Unfortunately, not all decisions are lasting decisions. My goodness, we see people come to the Crusades and we see the baseball field fill up. Do you realize that if one Crusade night had a 100% conversion rate that stuck, do you realize that Orange County, San Bernardino County, the world would never be the same if they all stuck? You know what I'm saying? How many people on one night would come forward? They were saying anywhere from 2,500 to 4,000 people come forward on a crusade night. And yet, according to Billy Graham's statistics, only a quarter of them after 10 years of time are still walking with God. Why? People give up. It's a tragic thing. But we want to understand something as we get into this. Starting at verse 19, we'll read to verse 31 and look at the fact of how is it and how can we discern if Paul is a true believer or if we are a true believer. Verse 19, and when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? Look at verse 22. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, or to the apostles, excuse me, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And then the churches through all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Very interesting portion of Scripture. Take your notes and jot this down. We're going to look, number one, in are you really a believer? And the real question is, of course, is to us, but keep into the mind that the Christians are not going to believe that Saul has been really converted. Maybe you have friends that think you're not really converted. You can't really be a Christian. And so hopefully this morning will really help that out. We're going to look at four important things. And the first thing is, number one, found in verses 19 and 22, or 19 through 22, and that is the real believer's response. Are you truly a believer? Well, watch this. It says in verse 19 there, when or then. Look in the middle of verse 19. Technically, remember the King James Version Bible, they inserted 19, 20, 21, the scripture verse references. Verse 20 really starts with then in verse 19. It says, then Saul spent some days with. You ought to circle the word with there. He spent days with the disciples. Paul's response after being born again is that he spends time with the disciples. I don't know what you're thinking, but you need to understand right now, as a believer, you cannot be a solo Christian. You can't be out there as a lone ranger Christian. You won't make it. You are encouraged throughout the Bible to have fellowship one with another. In Hebrews 10:25, this is a very serious verse. We quote it so, I think, glibly. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the gathering together of yourselves, as is the manner of some. What? Some who? Why? Some have forsaken the gathering together. But exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, that's interesting. What day is approaching? The coming of Jesus Christ is very soon. So you will not, according to Hebrews 10:25, continue and survive if you're a solo Christian. You might get up in the morning and say, well, you know, I can just do my own thing. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. That's true. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But you've got to go to church to grow. God's made it that way. It's just the way it is. Well, you're just trying to get people to come to this church. No, I'm not. I don't care where you go, as long as you go to a Bible-believing church. You got to grow. You can't be some solo Christian out on your own. You won't make it. We need to prioritize our priorities. I get a little nervous in the day and age in which we live, and I know this is going to strike a chord that's close to home, including my home. But you know what one of the biggest priorities in our house is? It's the word priority. And you know how little success we make at priorities? Man, we get up and we go, we got to have our priorities. And we print them out on the computer and put them on the refrigerator. These are our priorities. And then the phone rings and blows the first priority. What's the matter with us? We want to get together and have family devotion. It's going to be the first thing on the list. And we talk about it laying in bed at night. And what do we do when we get up? Got to go to the health club. I got to go over here. Oh, phone, I got to go. No, listen. Anything, and I know this is going to hit home to us, anything that keeps you out of the fellowship of God's people is wrong. I don't care if it is doing good Christian things. I don't understand the day and age in which we live. Do you realize the Bible teaches that in the last days many will depart from the faith? And I used to ask, how can this be? We're seeing more prophetic events taking place in the day and age in which we live. How can people walk out on Christ? Well, you know what? It's pretty easy. If you miss a Sunday, feel pretty bad about it. Oh, I'm going to go. You know what? Because I really need to be fed, and I miss Sunday, so I'm going to go Wednesday. And then something comes down, and you don't make it on Wednesday. And then, you know what? Sunday comes, but you're not feeling very good, so you're going to sleep in. And you know how that goes? You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it's been a couple of weeks. Now it's a couple of months. And what was an alarm in your heart no longer now is heard. You can sleep through church. You can sleep through fellowship with people. You don't even care anymore. Are you a believer? I can only say this. Jesus says, these are they who believe for a while. But the cares of the world choke out the word. And they fall away. It's very serious. But Jack, I'm saved. That's great. How many people have we met who say, you know, I'm saved, and they got a joint in one hand, a beer in the other? I accepted Christ 5 years ago. Well, that's great, man. Then put that stuff down and walk with him. Because you need to be aware that there's a fine line. There comes a point in time when you can walk out on the Lord. Are you saying, Jack, that you can lose your salvation? I'm not saying that at all, because I believe if you're truly born again, it's impossible to be unborn. The question is, were you ever born again? You see? Well, I believe. So does the devil. James chapter 5, verse 19. Satan believes, the devils believe, and they tremble when they think about God. But where are they going? Are you a believer? Saul wanted to spend time with the disciples, and he did it. Nothing was going to keep him back. But things keep us back from spending time with God's people. Sporting events, softball Wednesday nights. My daughter does that. It's very difficult. Bottom line is, I don't care if she's up to bat. If church is starting, she's coming out of home plate. Bottom line, if we're not instilling in our families that God is first, then what are we instilling in them? If sports can take the preeminence over God, what are we telling them? If it's basket weaving or pinochle over God, I couldn't come Wednesday night. We were right in the middle of a bullwinkle. What is it? I said peewinkle. What is it? Pinochle. We're right in the middle of a pinochle thing. I can't go to church. What are we doing? We were with the disciples at the start. I love being around new believers. Paul is a new believer right here. They're crazy new believers. We got a fairly new believer. Oh, yeah, he's a new believer. I love this person. And it's so precious, because have you noticed how they just kind of blow your mind? You know, you're kind of doing your Christian thing, and they come in and they go, guess what I read? I read that I'm a new creation in Christ. Can you believe it? And you go, man, calm down. Sheesh. You need to go through a couple of trials and mellow out a little bit. You need to get carnal like me and not be so excited about these things of God. I love being around new believers. And you know what's neat? They don't have Christianese down. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. You know, we say that like it's nothing anymore. When a new believer, it's like, man, things are happening. God's doing big things. Well, that's their way of saying praise the Lord. And they're at every gathering, everything of fellowship. They go, if this church doesn't have something Tuesday night, they're over at some other church getting fed Tuesday night. And then Friday night, they're over at that place for the concert. And Sunday, and they can't get enough. And somehow we begin to think, well, you know, they haven't arrived like I have. God help us. I tell you, I have bad days like you do. And the only thing that pulls me out of a bad day is Bible. Saul was with the disciples. Are you a believer, Saul? Well, I want to be with the disciples. I want to be where God's people's at. That's one of the first signs. Do you want to be where God's people are at? Ask yourself. Very, very important. You can't do it solo. I remember when my flight instructor, in fact, it was October 1st, 1983. Never forget it. I was learning how to fly, and my flight instructor says, oh, you know, we're taxiing around, taking off. And he says, hey, just pull over right over here. I thought something was wrong with the airplane. What's the matter? Oh, nothing. He signs my logbook and steps out of the plane. I said, where are you going? He goes, you can do it by yourself now. What? You can do it yourself now. Listen, I wanted that guy with me in that seat. And even after I took off and flew around by myself, I was still talking to him up there. What do I do now, Ralph? Hey, I want to be, he was not there in body, but he was there in spirit, I'll tell you that. We need to be together. We can't be some solo people out there. Paul was not that way. He understood that. He was converted. He spent time. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, the scripture tells us there, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. What you need to circle in verse 20 is that he preached. And you might say, Jack, I'm not a preacher. I understand that. Hang on for a second. Look at the word immediately. You find it in Mark's gospel more than any other place. It means instantaneously at that very moment. We get our English word. Our English word is connected to this enthusiastic. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. God in you. Enthusiastic means to be possessed by God. Oh, you are enthusiastic. It means you're possessed by God. In, E-N, is inside. Thusi is God. God in you. Saul accepts the Lord, spends time with the fellowship, and while he's spending time with the fellowship, he's preaching Jesus. And listen, I know some of us are shy. I know some of us are reserved. It doesn't mean you grab a box and stand on top and start preaching to the world. It means you tell people about Jesus. Tell your family. You see, a person who's really born again according to the Bible, this is not my opinion, will tell other people. You may have only told 5 people in all your life. That's fine. But you're going to want to tell them. Is heaven real to you and I? Is it really real? Do you really believe that you're going there? Do you believe that it's wonderful? Then let's drag as many people there as we can. Do we really believe? Immediately he goes out and tells people about Jesus Christ. No undercover Christianity here with Saul. Look what he does. He goes to the synagogue. You know, he doesn't put tracks in his friend's sandwiches. He goes to the synagogue. That's where all of his buddies were hanging out. All of the guys that he used to traffic with. And Saul goes down there and goes, hey, with enthusiasm. I want to tell you guys something. And look what he did. This is beautiful. Immediately he preached the Messiah. That means he went to the Old Testament. Remember, he didn't have a New Testament. He went to the Old Testament and said, listen, the Messiah, the scripture says, will come to Jerusalem. The Messiah, the Bible says, will be crucified. He goes all to the Old Testament. And he preaches concerning the Christ. And look what he says, that he is. Who's he? Jesus. And man, what a radical thought that is for a Jew to even say. Jesus is the Christ, is what he's teaching. A little kosher background on this. The Jews believed in Messiah. That's why Paul opened up his message that way. He taught Messiah. The Jews believe in Messiah. They expected him to come. They're looking for him now. But the fact of the matter is, the problem was that they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And you see, that's one of the essentials that you have to believe to be a Christian, that Jesus is Messiah. And so we need to be very careful that we understand this. Let's keep going. Verse 21, then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? Isn't this Saul the murderer? And he has come here for that very purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest. What's the answer to that question? Isn't that a question? There's a question mark at the end of priest. What's the answer? You know, if this was Jeopardy, the definition right here, who's the one that left Jerusalem bound for Damascus to destroy Christians and was imprisoning them and going to kill them and eradicate Christianity? Well, Alex, the answer is Saul of Tarsus. That's the great answer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called, Are You Really a Believer? It's a look at the book of Acts chapter 9, the fascinating account where Saul of Tarsus becomes a believer. We'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, if you'd like to get in touch with us, there's more than one way to do so. Starting off with our website, www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. And of course, if you'd like to write us for any reason, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.